All right. Well, today we're moving back into our series on people of the Spirit and starting with a focus on the fruit of the Spirit, because as we'll eventually get there somewhere during this series, 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that if the gifts of the Spirit don't flow out of love, God's kind of love of service and that, then they're basically worthless. So whatever power God gives us needs to be manifested in the love of Jesus. And today, that fruit that we're looking at, 2 weeks ago we looked at love, joy, peace. Today we're going to be looking at that next set, which is patience, kindness, and goodness. Now, I had a pastor who served as a mentor for me, and I got to follow him around one summer and be his shadow and learned a lot of things. And there was just a couple of weeks that, you know, things were just rough. There were some people problems. We never have people problems in the church, right? I wish that were true. But it was just, he was dealing with these people problems, and we'd gone to visit somebody, and it didn't turn out as well as he had hoped. And he looked at me, and he said, you know, ministry would be great if it weren't for people. I hope you kind of get the irony there. Ministry is all about people. That's why the beautiful thing is, and again, be in prayer. We have a lot of brothers and sisters around the world that they're not meeting in a nice facility like this. Some are meeting in basements, singing in whispers. Some are not even able to meet at all. And we need to remember them. But the beautiful thing is the church is still there. It may not be a building, but the church is not the building. We are the church, because God builds his temple in us by his Spirit. Now, people, you know, ministry would be great if it weren't for people. Unless you are a self-sufficient hermit, you have to deal with people. Now, I learned a new expression. I don't even remember who I was with, but they were surprised because I heard something about a Karen. Oh, she's a Karen. Anybody else know? Okay, Roxanne's shaking her head like, no, don't be a Karen. evidently, it's become a term, and if your name is Karen, I apologize. I didn't make this up. It just, you know, evidently there was some Karen somewhere that set the standard here, but it's become a slang term for an obnoxious, angry, entitled, and often racist, middle-aged white woman who uses her privilege to get her way and police other people's behaviors. So don't be a Karen or a Carl, or I don't know what the male version of that would be. The people that are just obnoxious and thinks if it's not their way, it's not right. And they're vocal about it. Thankfully, most of the time, what we hear tends to be more the negative thing, because that's what we're trained to do. I mean, I forget which one of the media moguls it was back in the day, but his phrase was for his newspaper, if it bleeds, it leads. People are kind of attracted to that for some reason, but hopefully we don't only focus on the negative, that we learn to look for good stories about good things people do. That was one of the things about, you know, especially in those early days of COVID, there was so much negative, but I was thankful for those stories that came out for positive. I think it was an 11 or 12-year-old boy that was using his 3D printer to print little plastic pieces that helped take the pressure off of people's ears and nose when they were wearing a mask. Somehow it connected the mask and held it on and made it more comfortable to wear. Physical trainers that, since people couldn't come to the gym, they were going out of their neighborhood on their balcony and letting people know they were going to, 9 o'clock is exercise time or something, and they'd lead people in calisthenics from their balcony of their apartment or stuff. So a lot of good things. I ran across an example of good things that people do. And this evidently happened fairly recently. A man named Ryan Passborg, I hope I got his last name right, that risked his own life to help rescue a Wyoming family after their house erupted into flames. When he saw the smoke, he pulled up. Three of the kids had made their way outside, and they told him that their mom and they had another sibling that was still in the house. So he went into the house. It was too smoky. So he, you know, what they teach you to do, crawl along the floor where the smoke's not so bad and the air's still breathable, found the other boy and brought him out, and then went back in and found the mom and brought her out, put them in his pickup truck because it was cold, drove them to the end of their driveway. Again, this was out in the country. Until emergency vehicles came to deal with the fire and to care for them. Praise God. I mean, I don't know whether this man is a believer in Jesus or if he's just a good Samaritan. But I'm glad when you hear those kinds of stories because, again, too often the negative is what comes out. May we be people who focus more on the positive. Now, here's the thing with this. Why am I talking about this? Because one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, part of that fruit of the Spirit, is to help us deal with people the way Jesus would. Not only in our actions, but hopefully our attitudes and our heart for other people. That's the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's kind of like the old, you know, remember when WWJD was the big thing? Well, it's still true. We just don't go around wearing the little bracelets and usually talk about it that much. But that's the work of the Spirit in our lives. And if we are to be people of the Spirit who bear the fruit of the Spirit, then how we interact with others should reflect our relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what? Sometimes it's tough. Because we're people. Who besides me is perfect here? Oh, yeah. We all have those rough edges. And it's interesting to me that at times there are a lot of things that, you know, I think I deal pretty good with. But I'm not going to tell you what my buttons are. You may already know what they are if you've been around me very much. But there's a couple of things I have to work really hard to remind myself, nope, I'm supposed to act like Jesus in this situation. But you know, everybody's got buttons, don't they? And hopefully with the help and power of the Spirit and that fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we learn how to overcome many of those ways that we interact with others. I found this quote in one of the commentaries and I thought it was really good. It says, "When the Spirit produces fruit, God gets the glory, and the Christian is not conscious of his spirituality. But when the flesh is at work, the person is inwardly proud of himself and is pleased when others compliment him. The work of the Spirit is to make us more like Christ for his glory, not for the praise of men." And see, that's where there are times when you, especially you read Jesus' interactions with the Pharisees, and you're thinking, boy, he didn't get along very well with them. Well, if you read through there, at the heart of it is really, you guys keep wanting to do the right thing, but you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're not doing it because it's an expression of God at work in your life. You're doing it to get people to say, oh, look how spiritual he is, or look how good he is. They did it when they gave. They did it as they prayed in public. I mean, go back and read Matthew 23. Ouch. Was he... Is it that he didn't like them? No, he loved them. And he knew that they were close. They knew the truth. They knew the things that the Word taught about how God desires for us to live. But they were more about, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm good, you're bad. And I'm not doing this because Jesus changed my life or God changed my life. I'm doing this to show you how good I am. God's going to deal with us about that. See, that's where I think sometimes those of you who are listening, and if you happen to be here and hear this, too many people, oh, I need to get rid of this. I need to clean up my life. I need to quit doing this or I need to quit doing that. And when I get my life cleaned up, I'll come and give my life to Jesus. Well, you're going to be spending the rest of your life cleaning something up because that's just the way we are. because we're slaves to sin and we're going to keep messing up. And you notice when someone gets saved, most of the time those things that, you know, my little ditty I learned when I got involved in church and came to know the Lord as a teenager was I don't drink, smoke, or chew, and I don't go with girls that do. Or I guess the girls would say with guys that do. You know, we had those in the church world, we have that little cookie cutter. A Christian is, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do this, I don't do that. Back in those days, our membership card said you won't go to movies. Now you watch a movie on your phone, so I don't know how that works. But, you know, we look at a lot of those outward behaviors, and when you come to know Jesus, often you start looking around and, oh, well, the people in church don't do this, they don't do that. I probably shouldn't either because they're Christians too. And a lot of that outward stuff usually isn't that hard to deal with. I mean, sometimes you have an addiction that, you know, many times God just breaks the power of that addiction in our lives. Sometimes we just every day say, okay, Lord, today I'm not going to smoke. With your help, I'm not going to smoke. You know, or whatever the thing is. But if we stop there on the behaviors that people can see in us, God goes deeper than that because he changes us from the inside out. See, go back to what Jesus said. It's out of the heart that the lying and the lust and, you know. Matthew 5, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery. What was Jesus saying? These things come from the heart. And when the Spirit of God comes in, he wants to change our heart and transform us from the inside out. So it's not simply of, I control my actions, which we do need to do, but I'm not led that way, I don't think that way, I don't act that way, because God has changed my life. Well, here the Apostle Paul gives us three particular issues or things that fruit that God works in our lives to develop. The first is patience. And Brendan, I apologize, I'm all over the place here, so patience. It's hard for the person. I've sat and done what he's done, and when the preacher gets up here and totally loses his track of his notes, it's hard for the person back there. So thank you for your patience and good work. We appreciate you. He has patience. The fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit is, the Greek word is a compound word that's made up of words meaning long and anger. So it literally means long to anger. I think the King James translates this fruit as long suffering. It suffers a long time. With the Spirit's help, we don't have to have a short fuse. The Spirit helps us develop a long fuse that is slow to become angry. See, patience is love enduring. It's a love that lasts, it's not easily broken, it's not easily frustrated, it doesn't keep that record of wrongs. Apostle James made this note and encouraged us to do this as, and I think he's thinking this is a fruit of the Spirit. James 1, 19 and 20 says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Think about it. How often do we mess up when we give in to our anger? Especially when we don't take time to get more of the story. To learn what is motivating the action that angers us. We so often, you know, somebody asked me one time, do you get exercise? And I said, well, I like to run off at the mouth and jump to conclusions. But we do that sometimes. We see something, instantly assess it, and decide, I don't like that, and we get angry. Before we have time to learn why is the situation the way it is. And oftentimes what we find out is that where we are quick to assign bad intentions to people, often it's just a matter of they weren't thinking about how would we react to it, or they're actually sometimes, have you ever yelled at somebody and found out they were trying to do something nice for you? And that's when you feel about yay high. you know, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. You know, as followers of Jesus, we're to take our cue from God. Consider how patient God is with us. Amen? I'm glad God is more patient with us than sometimes, or I'll put it this way. I'm glad God is more patient with me sometimes than I am with other people. Even though, you know, hopefully I'm learning. Why? But why is God patient? Because he desires reconciliation and the restoration of relationships. For God, it's always about relationship. In Romans 2:4, we read this, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin, to lead us to repentance?" See, I think patience has a lot to do with getting past the "it's all about me" mindset. That inconveniences me, so it makes me angry. Guess what? Most of life isn't all about us. But we're sure trained to think that way most often, is it, aren't we? God begins to work in his life by his Spirit and begins to make us mindful of others. Even the golden rule, not he who has the gold makes the rules, but treat others the way you want to be treated. Would you want other people just to assume wrong intentions on our part, on your part? Well, let's be quick and make sure that we're not doing that for others. You know, a lot of bad things about COVID, but one of the things that COVID has done has forced us to learn some patience, hasn't it? You got to be more patient. How many of you have gone to a restaurant and they have that little sign up that says, "We're glad you're here, but we're short-staffed. Please be patient. It's going to take longer to get you seated and get your food." So you got a choice there. Okay, I understand. I can deal with this. Or, nope, this is going to drive me nuts. We're just going to drive through and pick up pizza or something. I don't know. But at least those, you know, they're letting you know this is the case. If you can't deal with it, please go elsewhere. Again, is it all about us? Oh, this inconveniences me, so I'm angry about it. Proverbs 14:29 says this, "People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness." Ouch. But that's how the Spirit works in us, so that like Christ and God is patient with us, we learn to be patient with others. And when you think about it, that makes sense. What is more likely to draw someone toward the Lord, an angry outburst or display of understanding and caring? I know. Don't worry. The preacher's pointing at himself more than he is at you. Patience. Let's move on to kindness. In Colossians 3:12-14, we read this, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And you notice when you start reading passages that deal with these virtues that there's a lot of overlap involved. "Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you." That's what we remember as we celebrate communion. "So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." The world can go to a lot of places and find disharmony and snippiness and backbiting and one-upmanship. May God help us and so transform us that this is not a place where they find that. That we truly care for one another. We truly show patience toward one another. We truly show kindness toward one another. And we do it because of what God's done for us. Not that we're necessarily so wonderful. I think you all are pretty wonderful. But I also know God's at work in your life. That this kindness, the acting charitably, acting for the benefit of others, that we do that because we understand that's what God did for us. So we're going to take that initiative to respond to other people's needs. You think, well, that's hard. Absolutely, it's hard. That's why it has to be a fruit of the Spirit. Because once in a while, we can do pretty good at this just in our own flesh, but we need God to change us. We need God to transform us. You know, perhaps one of the most clear examples of kindness found in Scripture is how Jesus dealt with a woman caught in adultery. It's recorded in John chapter 8. Just to remind us, let me read you this short passage. It says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. First of all, I'm thinking, if the woman was caught in the act of adultery, why didn't they drag the guy in with her too? Sorry, gals. Okay, sorry, that's a side note. That's not in the Scripture. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. And I tell you, 2,000 years later, everybody's still going, well, I wish John had told us what he'd written there. We don't know. But here's what happened. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Kindness. See, it's always rooted in the steadfast and self-sacrificing love of God. Scripture reminds us that God is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness toward his people. And we're commanded in Ephesians 4:32 to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You notice a lot of times with that kindness, it's related to forgiveness. Why? Because we're people. And even the best of us, at times we can mess up. And I think most of the time it's unintentional. But hey, as a preacher, I've said things and found out, oh, what you said hurt somebody. I never intentionally speak to hurt anyone. Well, I shouldn't say that. I try very hard. If it happened, you know, I think you understand. If I do, be scriptural. Come talk to me. Just don't assume I don't like you or I'm angry at you or I'm mad at you, because I'm not. But sometimes I say stupid stuff. We all can say stupid stuff. Somebody says something stupid, go to them, talk to them about it. Well, that's hard. Sorry, that's not my idea. That's Jesus's. Go back, read Matthew 9, or chapter 18 again. Matthew chapter 5, if you go to the altar to present your gift to God and remember something, somebody has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, go talk to the offended person, and then come and present your offering to God. That's God's way of doing things. And again, kindness can be tricky because our culture often equates it to being nice and or tolerant. And this is why we need the leading of the Spirit to help us to know what is truly an act of kindness. In Psalm 141:5, it says this, "Let the godly strike me, it will be a kindness. If they correct me, it is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it." Galatians 6:1. I'm throwing a lot of extra scripture in here, but they're just coming to my mind as I'm processing this. "You who are spiritual, restore, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a brother in the spirit of meekness, lest you yourself are tempted." Everyone is to not only to bear his own burdens, but the burdens of others also. This is the law of Christ. There are times the kindest thing we can do is out of love, as the Spirit directs us. And I think this is the Spirit, again, listening and following the leading of the Spirit. You know, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, I've noticed this. I love you. I care about you. What's going on? Is there something I can do to help you? Can I pray with you? Do you need somebody that you can call when you're dealing with this situation and say, pray for me right now, because right now I just want to go slap somebody silly." Amen? "Let the godly strike me, it is a kindness." Sometimes the kindest thing we can do is speak the truth in love. Sometimes kindness is allowing someone to suffer the consequences of a bad choice so they learn from the experience. One of the hardest things to do as a parent, isn't it? You let your kids make mistakes. Okay, why do you think that happened? Oh, well, you made a bad choice then, didn't you? What was the consequence of that choice? I mean, you don't let them go out and play on a highway in traffic, right? You do. Those where parents say, absolutely not. But there are some of those smaller choices in life that you have to let them make, have to let them suffer some consequences so that they can learn. Choices have consequences. Actions have consequences. Words have consequences. Otherwise, they'll never learn. That's part of the problem, I think, is in society. Everybody wants to do everything they want and say everything they want or do whatever thing they want. And then they cry, "Oh, well, why are there consequences? Why, you know, I was just doing whatever. Why is somebody mad at me? Why did this bad thing happen?" You reap what you sow. That's the law of God. I mean, farmers don't go out and plant corn and expect wheat to grow, do they? There are natural consequences of life. So sometimes kindness is letting somebody learn from their own mistakes. Again, especially as a parent, you balance that out, don't we? You know, sometimes kindness is paying it forward when you go through the drive-through lane. "Hey, I'm going to, you know, there's a car behind me. I'm going to pick up their meal too. Just let them know I'm doing it because Jesus loves them." You know, I've had that happen 2 or 3 times to me, and it's always like, "Oh, wow, that's an encouragement." Now, can I be honest one moment? Well, hopefully I'm honest every moment. I had that happen here a while back, and I'm thinking, okay, that was wonderful. I should pay it forward. So I asked the gal, what's the amount of the order behind me? Evidently, it was a car full of people. It was like $45 or $50. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I probably should. And I opened my wallet, and I had like $12. And I'm thinking, okay, God, thank you for the blessing. I guess I'll have to pass it on again later. Kindness. Well, the last one that we're looking at here this morning is goodness. And goodness is reaching out to do good to others even if they don't deserve it. Goodness does not react to evil, but absorbs the offense and responds with positive action. Because see, goodness in many ways is godliness. The Spirit helps us act the way Jesus would. Jesus talked about this. Again, going back to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. "You've heard that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your neighbor," or love your neighbor. Yeah, he said that too. "Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I'm not talking necessarily there about sinless perfection, but doing good, whether they're a friend or whether they're an enemy. Thank God for his goodness to us. We wouldn't be here today if it weren't for that. That goodness is godly character being displayed in our lives. Romans 12, verses 14 through 18 says this: Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. How hard is that? God, they're being mean to me, so bless them. Ooh, that takes the fruit of the Spirit to do that. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. God help us preachers. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Goodness. Again, hard? Absolutely. Possible? Absolutely. Through the power of the Spirit at work in our lives. Again, in case you haven't noticed, the fruit of the Spirit blend together in their expression in our lives. And I want to go back and reread Colossians 3, 12 through 14 to bring this to a close and to remind us of how we are to live. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Patience, kindness, love. May we reflect the character of Jesus to those around us. Lord God, I thank you for who you are. That you are all these things we've talked about, that we look to you to see what it means to be patient and kind and good. But when we act that way, we're just reflecting your characters to others. But Lord, it's hard. I think you know that. And sometimes I think the hardest thing, Lord, is truly learning to submit to your Spirit, to make these choices. And Lord, it's easy to stand up here and talk about these things when it's kind of theoretical, but Lord, it's hard when someone cuts us off in traffic or does something rude around us or says something vulgar that just sets us off. Lord, we can't do this without you. But thank you, Lord, that you've started it, that work in us. You've made us your holy people, and you love us. Lord, that's what communion is all about, reminding us of how much you love us and how you are working in our lives, that you've made us new. But if anyone is in you, they are a new creation. You start building this new from the inside out. So Spirit of God, we ask you to work in our hearts this day. Lord, forgive us when we have not acted in a way that reflects your glory and your goodness and your love and your kindness. The Spirit of God, give us the strength. There's somebody that comes to our mind that the Spirit brings to our mind. Spirit, give us the strength to go to them, to say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. Please forgive me. For Lord, that's what this is all about, reconciliation, restoration of relationships. Because the truth is, as you tell us in your word, that we can't say we love you if we don't love one another. So Lord, we confess our need for you today. Spirit of God, work in our hearts. Bear your fruit in our lives. And let the beauty of Jesus that is seen in us draw people to you. God, again, it's not that we would be glorified or that people would praise us, but that we can say, if you see that, then Jesus is at work in my life. Jesus wants to work in your life too, and that it may draw people to you, people for whom you died. So Lord, we leave this place praising you, thankful for what you've done, asking you to work in our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. All right. Challenging message today, but that's okay. Because God is at work in us, and he's not finished with us yet. We have that promise, Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God bless you.